Hey, man, well, let's just get straight into this. Congrats on the album.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, feels good to finally have it out. It's been a long time.
Yeah, well, I saw the post today on the Chaos Divine site that sort of talked through a few of the, you know, setbacks and how long it's taken and things like that. You mentioned the setbacks. Obviously, the pandemic is one of them, but what anything else that's attributed to the five-year wait for a new album?
Probably the reality of working and trying to still continue with music. You know, we're getting into our late 30s now, so you know the realities of life obviously hold us up. Our singer Dave, you know, in that time has he's had a couple of kids now, so that's kept him really busy. And you know, when we write and record albums, we put a lot of focus on the vocals, both from a writing perspective and also a recording perspective. So they certainly take the longest to write and record. So yeah, we spent a lot of time on vocals, and then yeah, obviously with the pandemic, we were sort of tossing up whether to kind of hold off and, you know, give ourselves time, but we really wanted to knuckle down and still get the record out, even though, you know, it obviously means we can't tour immediately, but we just want to give the, you know, our fans something to really soak up, and you know, hopefully before too long we can tour again.
Yeah, I mean, we're all hanging out for that moment where we can finally get. I mean, you've got gigs going on in WA as it is now, all COVID safe, I imagine. But yeah, the east coast of Australia, we've got you know, nothing going on. Well, especially here in Melbourne, we're like naughty kids just trapped in a house. And so well,
yeah, I mean, we're playing gig tonight. We've been asked to do a cover gig for Metallica show, so we'll just pretend we're a cover band for tonight and play that. But yeah, we've got an album launch at the end of November. You know, for us, it's about we want to be realistic, and you know, we could do live stream and all that kind of stuff, but we want to make sure we're giving the new album, you know, the justice it deserves. And I think sometimes, you know, just throwing together a live stream for people and charging them money is probably not something that we want to do lightly. So, yeah, we'll certainly look to do some online stuff just based on when we can think we can tour or can't. But for now, yeah, we really just want to let the record soak in, and hopefully, yeah, sort of first few months of next year, there might be an opportunity to come over east. But yeah, here we're still playing gigs. There's a bit of a reduced capacity, but you know, it's pretty much normal at the moment.
Yeah, that's amazing too. And we should talk about the album. It's why we're here. I love the way it starts with Instincts, and one of the singles, Savior, Rise and Falls, almost has a pop element to it with that huge chorus. It's one of the best I've heard from you in a long time. Super complex song though, but then it just goes into this chorus. It just sort of sucks you in. What can you tell me about that song?
Well, probably one of the songs that, to be honest, when we were writing the whole album and we got to the end and tracked everything and we were just putting the final touches on, I was of the view that, oh, I don't know if that song's going to make the cut. But then the more we finished up the vocals and polished it off and put all the lead and everything on it, it kind of just grew a life of its own. So it's a very, very difficult song to play live, particularly because I have to try and hold a slide for the whole song and then play all those riffs with a slide on my finger.
Right.
So that's challenging, but we did play it live a few weeks back, which was fun. So it went down really well. But yeah, really enjoy that song, and it's good to see that it's become one of the sort of standout tracks of the album, and I think it'll be, yeah, one that kind of really hooks people in.
Yeah, I think it's a really accessible one. It's a great tune to get out there as a single. Only Son is the slower, milder, but a super powerful song on the album. What can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, originally going to be a instrumental. So writing as an instrumental, and it's structured. You can sort of even hear that with the way it's structured with the sort of the call and response with the solo. But then, yeah, Dave had a really cool melody for it, and he had some quite powerful lyrics, you know, just after becoming a father, and he kind of wanted to write a bit of a story around you know, how we pass things on to our kids. And I guess that almost became the symbol for the album in a way, you know, the passing of both good and bad parts of our lives for the next generation. And I think if you actually listen to a lot of the lyrics and the songs, and certainly that's where we came up with the album title, that really sort of exemplifies the concept of the CD. So in a way, yeah, that song is a really kind of key part of the album. And even just from today, with some of the reactions from people that have just received their album, or they've jumped on and had a listen, like I think they're really digging that song, which is good to see. And it's probably either my first or second sort of favorite song on the album, just because it is quite different to something we've done before. And yeah, it's just really, really catchy. So it's good to see it's getting a good response.
Another one that I'm going to play on the show, because the album's now out, is Colors of War. That I don't know why. It's one of those ones where I was doing something else. Like when I'm listening, I'm usually writing notes. But that one was kind of just, it had me sort of, you know, I'm going like this, and it's kicked me right in the guts, that one. An absolute belter of a song. So, of course, I want to know more about Colors of War.
Yeah, we wrote that ages ago, like probably the first song on the album that we wrote. We played that actually just as a bit of a test when we supported Arch Enemy. And it's always reminded me of Arch Enemy, that song, just with the riffs and the way the kind of the feel is. And I think, it's probably one of the heavier songs on the album from start to finish, really. There's a couple of quite heavy songs, but that's got the most sort of metal vibe, I think, and really love the title. So, yeah, super metal through and through, which is fun to play live. So, yeah, I think those songs are going to be really good live, because I think, you know, sometimes with the big epic melodic stuff, it's really good to sit down and listen to and soak up. But, you know, for the first-time listener, it doesn't always translate that well live. But, you know, something that's really high energy and gets the crowd moving. So I think we've got a good mix of those two type of songs on the album.
Yeah, absolutely. And the length of the album was, you know, it's an hour long. It's not something that everyone's doing these days. A lot of people are doing less is more, half an hour, 40 minutes, maybe 10 songs and that's it. And you've not only gone to an hour, you've got an 8-minute closing track on the album as well. How does that happen? Was it different songs that you've joined together, or was it always going to be this long piece?
Yeah, I think we really enjoy at least having one, you know, bit of a journey song on an album. And I think that last track was always written with that in mind. That was potentially going to be an opener, but we just didn't want to bombard an 8-minute song onto people for the first song. So ended up being the last song. But I think we always knew we wanted to do a really comprehensive record, and we've never really been one for just kind of, you know, might write 10 songs and then only put out 7 kind of thing. We really labor over each song. And I think that's why it does take us a long time to record an album, because when we've got an idea, we're sort of perfectionists, and we like to see the song through, make the call at the very end once we spend the money and recorded everything. And then if it's not working with the album, we'll take it off. But very rarely that happens. And what we've ended up with was where we started. And I think the way all the songs flow together, particularly with the theme of some of the lyrics as well, I think every song really has its place. And hopefully people don't mind a good hour sit down these days. I know it's hard to keep people's attention off their phone for that long, but you know. If we're gonna do an album, we want to do it well.
Yeah, I was more than happy to sit there and just go, what is an 8-minute song? I'm gonna see where this goes, and I think that a lot of people will do the same thing. However, not everyone is like, when they come to music, a lot of people, like you said, have a short attention span and they want to just click and grab a bit and go. So that leads me to. A band agonizes over the sequencing of an album and makes sure it flows and tells the story the right way. Is that a really important thing to Chaos Divine as well, just to sit there and make sure and nut it out and hope that people will go from start to finish in one listen?
Yeah, I mean, we probably had a good 2-week conversation just on the sequencing of the track.
Wow.
Just because, yeah, for us it's really important as an album that works and it doesn't just look like a collection of singles and then, you know, the last half is just sort of fillers or whatever. Because we're not that sort of band and I don't think our fan base is that kind of a listener either. So I think what we're trying to do is, yeah, play to our strengths. We've got very diverse music and we've got a lot of ups and downs in our songs. And I think that's what our fans kind of appreciate about us is there's something there for all the kind of genre listeners of metal. And I think, yeah, just getting the flow right of the songs is really important to us. And yeah, I think we sort of got there in the end. There was a few ideas that we had to kind of change the order up a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, where we've landed is really good, and yeah, hopefully people will give it the time it needs.
I think they will, because like you said, it's been 5 years. Geez, that takes me back to then Big Sound 2015 when you were playing there, and that's a long time between drinks, not only as artists, but also as human beings. As you mentioned, Dave's had a couple of kids by now. Your life, you change as a person. It's hard not to in those 5 years. And that's going to show in the writing as well. And I think it really has on this album.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've matured a lot in what how we craft songs. And even thinking back to when we were touring in Europe as well, off probably not so much Colliding Skies, but even earlier, you know, just before we'd done Human Connection, I mean, we were a completely different band. Mm. I remember playing at Prog Power in Europe and just looking back on that set and thinking about it, it's just amazing how different our sound is now, especially live, you know, we've got a new drummer now. We've sort of almost reset up our live production in terms of how we set up on stage and what we use on stage and the use of tracks and everything just to make our stage show as big as possible. So I think we've really grown in terms of just finessing the way we go about our music. But you know, that every band does that. They kind of think what they're doing at the time is amazing, and then on reflection, you know, a few years later you can think, oh well, probably could have done that a bit differently, and yeah, actually probably wasn't that great back then. But you know, and we'll go through that again, you know, when we get to doing the next album and, you know, or whatever else we do in the future. It's always a learning process, and you know, you just do the best you can, and hopefully, you know, we all feel really confident in this album that it's probably the best representation of us as a collection of songs. You know, if we think back to kind of all the releases we've done now, if we were to sort of put one thing forward to say who is Chaos Divine, it would clearly be this record, because I think it's just got a good mix of everything.
People need to know that after what we've just said there, that they're not to go, oh, wow, they've changed their sound. What do they bloody sound like? What is this? No, it is still unequivocally and instantly identifiable as Chaos Divine. It is just, like you said, it's a more mature songwriting. You've all got better at your craft. It's just a natural evolution of how good you've become as songwriters. You've always been, in my opinion, brilliant songwriters, interesting songwriters, and that's why Chaos Divine's been one of my favourite bands ever since I was first introduced to them. Oh, Jesus. What, 2012 or something? Through Firestarter. And yep. And it was just like, well, Jesus. What is it about the West as well? There's some hell of bloody good bands in the West. So it's,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a good stopping ground.
We get asked that all the time with interviews, and I never know what to say, because it's like, well, there's so much touring happening, well, there was, but in terms of people, you know, good East Coast bands coming west and vice versa. But yeah, I don't know. There seems to be a good sort of culture amongst metal bands in Perth that. I don't know, and I don't know why it is that there's this reputation for Perth bands. And I think in the prog sense, you know, we've got bands like Voyager, we've got Sleet Makes Waves. Over East, we've got Sleet Makes Waves, and you know, Australia in itself just has a good reputation for prog, and you know, that carries whenever we have been overseas. That everyone talks about it, like Australian bands, like there's something about them, and I think that's really true for prog metal. So yeah, I think hopefully we can continue that trend, because it serves us well when we go overseas.
Yeah, well, you know, you've mentioned Sleep Makes Waves, and then you add Caligula's Horse into the mix as well, and like I said, Voyager, and they're really at the top of the echelon of the prog game in Australia. Like, seems like there's no middle ground. There's just really good bands like that, you know, and I think that you guys should be proud to be part of that. Well, I was going to say heritage, but legacy, because you've carved a path over so many years now that, you know, the name is synonymous with excellence, I think is what I'm trying to get at. So, mate, congratulations. Thanks for spending the time with me this afternoon. And, I love the album, and I hope everyone jumps on board and loves it as much as I do.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers for having me.